Hello, everybody, and welcome to That Millennial Life, a podcast where I talk to different millennials about their lives and how they are managing young adulthood. My name is Joe Cole, and this is my podcast. I just got back from Los Angeles. Los Angeles, the city of angels. Los Angeles. Being someone who has an interest in TV and film and the entertainment industry, I've always wanted to go out there. It's always been a dream to check that place out. And a few months ago, I had gotten in touch with someone by the name of Eric Huberman, who was recently featured in Forbes 30 Under 30. He is the CEO and founder of a digital marketing company called Hawk Media. And I got in touch with him over Twitter and told him about my podcast and that I'd love to have him on. And he liked the idea of my podcast and agreed to be a guest. He just said, whenever you're out in LA, let me know. And I've always wanted to check out LA, and having the opportunity for that interview was just an added incentive. So that interview will be on next week's episode. But yeah, I had a good time out there. I stayed with Ben Saad, who was my ex-roommate and was on the Millennial Phone Call Medley episode, and who I also interviewed and will be on a later episode, and Rob Atkin, who is the brother of past guest Johnny Atkin, that I unfortunately didn't have time to interview. He's working at a gym out there called Equinox, which is in Kanye's, he says, all the bad bitches up in Equinox. That is the Equinox in which he is referring to. But yeah, it was awesome. Rob lives in Beverly Hills, so I walked all around there and up Rodeo Drive and felt very out of place because of all the Porsches and the Maseratis. And in Friday night, I went to the Comedy Store, which as a comedy nerd was a big deal. From hearing about that place so many times from different people and podcasts, and when I got there, it was just amazing. Looking around and at all the pictures on the walls and all the different signatures, and I thought to myself, like, holy shit, this is where David Letterman and Robin Williams and Richard Pryor all started out, and this is a parking lot where Sam Kinison shot off his gun and it went in the building, and just so much history and I went to see Marc Maron perform, who is a huge creative idol of mine, and it was very befitting that the first time I saw him perform was at the Comedy Store, because that's kind of his stomping grounds. He started out there as a door guy, and it was awesome. I got to hear him try out some of his new material that I'd never heard before. I also saw David Spade and Anthony Jeselnik and Neil Brennan, who is the co-creator of The Chappelle Show. And I really wanted to meet Marc Maron. I may or may not have had some stuff planned that I wanted to say to him in case I was able to do that. But by the time I went in the back area where I kind of found out where all people sometimes hung out, he had already left. But I did meet Anthony Jeselnik. He was waiting in the parking lot for his car. And I was like, hey, funny stuff, man. He was like, thanks. And I was like, Shakespeare's a classic. Shakespeare is the name of his first album that was very critically acclaimed. I was like, Shakespeare's a classic. And then he gave me like a head nod that was a combination of like, thank you and yeah, I know, which was very cool because his character on stage is cocky. And then he got in his Audi and drove away. But yeah, it was amazing. And I just wanted to share that I enjoyed that experience. But anyway, today on the show is Brad DePrima, who is another person I talked to who's out in LA. Brad was a senior at QU when I was a freshman, and he works at Family Guy currently and has been for the past few years. And he recently just got promoted to a job where he works a little more closely with Seth MacFarlane, which Brad talks about a little in our conversation. He couldn't give too much information just because of the nature of the job, but it was cool to talk to someone who's doing some pretty big things in LA, and and he invited me to the Family Guy office, and he gave me a tour. The office is huge, and he showed me where all the different departments work. I met an illustrator who was working on a rough draft of an episode that is about a year or so from being finished. He showed me the soundproof recording studio, which is used by anyone who's ever recorded for the show. I got to see a few clips from an episode that's being released in a few weeks. He showed me where all the scripts are. Brad showed me where he worked, which is right outside Seth MacFarlane's office. Maybe I got a little sneak peek in there. And, you know, as a fan of the show and a TV lover, it was really an amazing experience, and it was very gracious of Brad for him to offer me that opportunity. But anyway, I had a great time in LA, and I think it's probably only a matter of time before I head out there. But it's scary. But anyway, let's now get to my conversation with Brad DePrima. Wait, so did you say, I want to hear about this, you said that your last podcast venture didn't go well, or you said you were on one other podcast? Not the one you were literally just talking about, the one you talked about.
Yeah, I did one over Christmas break back in Connecticut, and it has yet to see the light of day.
Why? I think. Why did it go well?
I guess that's up to the host. I guess I just wasn't interesting enough.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that doesn't... I think that won't happen for this one.
Oh, it better not. We'll be good. I'll make up some stories that'll make me sound important, and we'll name drop. It's going to be great.
Yeah, throw a few name drops in there. Well, thank you for having me to your nice apartment.
This is great. I didn't even have to leave.
Yeah, right? I came to you.
Yeah.
I traveled across country for you. Not just for you, but...
This is great.
Yeah. So when did you make the decision to come out here? How long did you know you wanted to come out here?
Almost, let's see, graduated in May of 2012, and for the first couple months, I was looking for jobs in New York, production jobs. I knew I wanted to work in TV. I had an interview. The only interview I had was with NBC Stanford, and in Stanford, they do the... what's it? Jerry Springer, and they do Steve Wilkos.
Oh, yeah, in Connecticut.
Yep.
I had some friends who went to a few of those tapings.
Yeah. I'm from Ridgefield, so it's the next town over. And
they're free.
Yeah, it was. I'm sure it's an awesome show. Steve Wilkos is hilarious. I love when he throws the chair. I had an interview. I interviewed as the chair that he throws. Had an interview there. That summer after graduation, didn't hear her back, and I was just getting, you know, a little stir crazy, you know, and that was the only lead I had, and it didn't sound like it went well. So I...
What do you mean it did sound like it went well?
Well, I didn't hear anything. I thought I did great, but I didn't hear anything, so I just...
What was that interview like?
It was interesting. It was...
How well can you pull back people? What was the job even for?
It was just a PA job.
PA job,
it was a PA job for, I guess it was, they shoot all three shows. It's Steve Wilkos, Maury, and Jerry Springer in that facility. And it was just a PA for, I think, all three shows.
How well can you look shocked as if this isn't actually scripted?
Yeah, right, yeah. I guess the part of the job, I can't really remember the interview too well, but I didn't hear back, and... Yeah. I was talking to somebody who was already out in LA, and they told me what they did to get out there. They put an LA address on their resume and started applying to jobs. And because no one's going to look at your resume if you don't have an LA address, you know, why would they waste their time with someone who's from Connecticut? So I did that. And almost immediately I was applying to internships, a couple different shows, Spike TV, Dick Clark Productions, a few others, and I got calls back. And I was like, well, if I get one of the, like, you know, I'm getting calls about this, so I guess I should book a trip to go out there and you know, do these interviews. So this was August, mid-August of 2012.
4 months out of college.
4 months, yep. And I booked a trip, and... just spent a week. I did the Spike interview, Dick Clark, and at the end of the week, I got the Spike job. They told me like maybe like the day after, so I was like, shit, now I have to actually like do this.
Yeah.
So I just stayed. It was really bizarre.
Where'd you live?
I had a family friend I stayed with.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I crashed on his couch for like 3 weeks. I was very generous. And I got a part-time bartending job, and I was working at Spike TV in development, in Santa Monica, and I showed up to this bartending job maybe like twice. It was an event bartending job, and I just didn't want to do it. I was so excited about working in TV. It was just like, I don't want to bartend. Yeah. I had bartended through college, Quinnipiac, our alma mater.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I'll tangent
from
this story real quick. I got a beef with Quinnipiac right now.
Why?
Two reasons. First being they unfollowed me on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
I don't know
We're
what I
done
did.
Done with you.
I don't know what I did. second being I have, so I did stand up in college, as you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
I took down all the videos I could find of any evidence that I ever did stand up.
Yeah,
because
why? Have you tried done it out here?
I wasn't good. I didn't do, I, at the time I was like, oh, I'm really good at this. And now having, you know, worked with
people.
Professionals, I know that I was terrible and it wasn't good. And I didn't want any evidence of that terrible idea I had to do stand up on.
Did you ever
internet.
Try it out here?
No, I didn't. No.
Not
no
once?
Way. Nope.
Wow.
So there's one video that I couldn't
tweets,
take
man.
Down. Well, apparently Quinnipiac does not think so. I had, there's still one video up, a stand-up video that The Chronicle took.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about reaching out to you for help
with I have no
help
pull
with
The Chronicle. I could probably.
Well, I contacted the chief editor.
Yeah.
And
you really went deep, man.
I really did. I called from my
Sarah
office.
Sarah Harris? Is that her name?
I don't remember her name. I don't think it was that, though. Mm. I called her from my office line.
Yeah.
And with the hopes that, you know, I could bedazzle her with my my LA area code and my, you know, hey, I work on Family Guy, Quinnipiac alum.
Yeah.
And I just got completely shut down. This,
how do you throw that in moment. There? Hey, Brad DePrima, LA resident,
well,
Family Guy.
The way I...
Just right at
I,
top.
What I did was, I didn't want this up. So I called her. I was like, hey, how's it going? I am a Quinnipiac alum. I work at Family Guy right now in LA. Like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
So anyways, there's a stand-up video that I really would like to take down. You know, working in entertainment and... it's just not very representative of where I'm at right now. And I just don't want people seeing that. And it was a hard no. You can't take that down. We can't
no
take that down.
No way.
Because, of their, you know, it's their policy not to take down content, you know, like if I had been arrested for something bad and I had asked to take it down, you know, that wouldn't be fair. And I was like, well, you know, no offense, I don't think anyone's really going to be missing out on my stand-up video from 2010 that
has
375 views.
I remember one of your bits about your mom putting your cat on the phone when you called her.
That was one of my better bits. It wasn't so much that. It was just like I had a couple bits, like something about working in retail, and I was trying out some new stuff. And it was very green. I was very green. And I actually showed the video to a couple of people I work with. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you should take that down. And they won't take it down. They won't take it down. I'm just, you know, it's a humbling moment.
It'll sit.
I got no pull.
It'll sit in the corner of the internet for a little. No respect. You're
no
like,
respect.
What's his name?
So that's staying up.
What
and,
can I think of his name?
I'm sure by talking about it, I've just drawn more attention to it. But
who's the no respect guy from fucking
Ronnie
Caddyshack? Ronnie Dangerfield. I couldn't think of his name.
Yeah. So yeah, that's definitely on everyone's radar now. I'm glad.
Hey man,
he
didn't break it in stand up until like 50. So you got time. You got time. Maybe put the stand up outfit back on a few years from now.
No, I think that
you're like
that,
the you like the TV writing.
I do, yeah.
Why do you think that as a sensibility is better for you than is it the being on stage in front of everyone? Do you think you're funnier when you're just alone in your room writing? Or
yeah,
is it the situational?
In terms of you need some sort of hook. You need like a personality, and
right.
Nobody, you know. I think the last stand-up performance I had was this bar in New Haven called. I don't remember the name, but it wasn't a nice bar. It was like a biker bar. I don't know why I was invited to perform there. I think they called the wrong person.
How many times do you think you actually went up?
A dozen or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That little.
Yeah. And I was at this biker bar, and I just really didn't belong there. And I was doing jokes. So I got up and I realized, like, right after the first joke that this wasn't going to work, and this was probably going to be my last time doing stand-up. I said, I just graduated from college. This was, like, you know, May of 2012. I just graduated from college. And, like, nobody clapped or anything, and I didn't expect that. And I was like, and you guys know about college? And that, like, really didn't sit well with anybody there.
No
the other
way.
Comics laughed, but probably out of fear that I was going to be killed in this bar.
Wow.
And then I just struggled through the rest of the act. You know, you can imagine these guys listening to me talking about a bit about my mom putting me on the phone with her cat. And, you know, I'm sure most of these guys didn't have moms growing up. Yeah, didn't have cats. Yeah, they definitely didn't have cats growing up.
Yeah, more dog people. I tried it one time, and I, 15, 20 seconds in, just made this stupid double entendre joke that I don't even really, honestly don't remember. And there was probably about 20 people in the audience, and just one guy went, huh, and then no one else. And I completely forgot, like, what was next in my mind of what I was going to do. And I just
tough.
Went, that's all I got.
Yeah.
It was like 15 seconds in.
Yeah.
And I was like, Ben, my brother, let's get the fuck out of here. Come on.
I think it was like, who was it? Steve Martin said you only need 3 laughs to make it sound like a crowd.
Mm.
So you're just
33%
of the way there.
It wasn't even a laugh. It was just like, I get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those 3 months or 4 or 5.
Oh yeah. So back to where we were. So okay. So I come out to LA.
Right. Hold on. Before that, those 4 or 5 months where you're stir crazy.
Mm.
Isn't that the worst? It's just like, I know there's something to do.
Is this a stand-up bit?
No, it's not.
It was bad. I knew I wasn't behind the curve, and you know, I didn't really know anyone else that was going out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just knew I didn't want to stay. And
right.
Talking to this person that I knew that did this on the resume, I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to try that out and see what happens. And I got a couple calls and I was like, wow, this is cool. And my mom was like, wait, what's happening? You have interviews in LA? I was like, yeah. And I just, you know, I just did it. And luckily, I had some cushion. I had money saved up, but also my parents are very supportive, and
parents are.
I just needed to do it. There was no other way. And then what's funny is I actually got a call from NBC after I'd already moved out, saying I got the job at
Spike.
NBC Stanford.
I
got the job. I was like, whoa.
Wow. How long did that take?
It maybe like 3 weeks later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was like a month I didn't hear back, and then I got the job. But I obviously turned it down, and I continued working at Spike. And then...
How long was that for?
About a month. And then I have a cousin that works out here. He's a very successful makeup artist, and he...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he... This is how LA works. If you know one of the ways LA works, if you have an in, my cousin worked on a movie called 42 with Harrison Ford, and one of the producers on that movie was starting a new show.
Was that the Jackie Robinson movie?
Yep.
And Chadwick Boseman?
Yep. Yeah. And we're going to, and one of the producers on that movie was starting a new show called Cosmos. Exactly. So when I moved out here, I give my cousin a call and I said, hey, I'm out here, you know, just working in TV. And he put in a good word for me at Cosmos, and I got an interview there at the end of the month. This was end of September, early October. And I interviewed at Cosmos and I got the job. So I was a PA on Cosmos. And I was a PA for a couple months, and then they actually moved me over to so the host of the show, Neil deGrasse Tyson, needed somebody to kind of chauffeur him around LA when he was out here. And I kind of fell into that position. So one day they're just like, hey, Neil's coming in tonight. You're going to pick him up at the airport. And from there, I was just like his personal assistant for about 4 months.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
So nice. He was just the coolest guy ever. And there's a video floating around the internet somewhere of he was on Joe Rogan's podcast. And I went with him. And
really?
There's a behind-the-scenes interview where it's Joe and Neil talking about Bigfoot and other conspiracy theories that Joe likes to talk about. And I was just in the middle of them, but just like, you know, staring at the camera like an idiot, like while these guys talk. I probably should have just like moved and let them talk, but I was just like, all right, cool. Right. What's the deal with Bigfoot for like 30 minutes?
Monster.
Yeah. So the YouTube comments are pretty funny. They're like, who the hell is this kid in the middle? That's just like, you know, which one of these things doesn't belong kind of deal.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. So I did. So I was Neil's guy for a little bit. And then I heard about an opening on Family Guy, and I had some friends that, so Cosmos, the production office was just down the hall from Family Guy.
That was on Fox too, right?
It's a Fox show. Yep. Mm-hmm. Just down the hall. And, I got the mail every day, and our mail was in their reception lobby. So I would just walk in every day, get the mail, leave, just try to stay as long as I could because, you know, it's Family Guy. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That was a loud gulp. Okay. We'll edit that out. So then I made some friends on Family Guy, and there was a PA opening, and I applied for it, and I got that job too.
What was that application process like?
It was, you know, pretty standard. There was an interview with HR, and then you meet with the producers and the coordinators on the show. And
interview wasn't anything like crazy?
No, I don't think so. I didn't have to do push-ups or anything.
How do they test your? So it was just for production assistant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a PA. On Family Guy, it's the writer's PA and the production PA are kind of the same. Mm. You do the same thing. So it's such a cool opportunity, and I was there up
what
until
is the same thing? What is that consist of?
So a writer's PA, you're working with the writers, you're, you know, building scripts and getting their lunches and just you're working with that department. Mm-hmm. More closely than you would on other shows. Those are separated, but on Family Guy they're one and the same. So we'd do two lunches a day. We'd get the writer's lunch, we'd get the production lunch, we'd build scripts, and we'd do other things for production. And so you'd get, you know, in a way it was better. You get a more well-rounded view of how the show gets made.
Mm-hmm.
and I was a PA up until December of this past year, and then lucky for me, there was an opening on Seth MacFarlane's desk, and I was in the right place at the right time, and I got that job, which is where I am now, and I have been since.
Personal assistant?
No, administrative executive assistant for both Family Guy and American Dad. But segueing off that, I will say that the biggest thing I learned from that was sticking it out. And, you know, I was a PA for 3 years, and during that time it's like, man, am I doing the right thing? Should I be looking for another job? And it's really, that's the biggest thing I learned, was sticking it out and staying the course. And
a lot of people don't have the fortitude to just,
it's tough. That. It's really tough, especially when you see other people around you, when you see, like, so there were four PAs that I worked with, and since I got there, there had been a number of PAs that have come and gone. It's like, you see that happening, you're like, man, like, am I doing the right thing? Should I, is there something else I could be doing? But I just learned to stick it out, just hang in there, and
you have to be telling yourself, I'm at Family Guy.
That's right. That's right.
If there's one place to be a PA.
Yeah. And, you know, if I was somewhere else, if I had left at a different time, who knows, I might not have gotten this opportunity.
What is that? What is that first thought? What is the feeling when you realize, when you find out you got that job?
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. It was a big deal, nerve wracking, but also, you know, I think I could do it. You know, yeah, it was.
Did you have the thought of who knows what other opportunities are going to come from this? Now it's just the next step and the next step. Do you think like that? Do you think down the line of like what do you ultimately want? I usually talk about like future at the end of this, mm-hmm. like hopes for the future, but coming up organically, like what do you ever think about that? Like this can lead to this and then that and that. I get ahead of myself like all the time, and I'm not even doing anything.
You know, it's a great place to be. I mean, Seth is making a lot of. He has, you know, his what's the metaphor? He's got, you know, eggs in a lot of different baskets. He's mm-hmm. he's doing movies, TV, he's doing shows in Vegas, and
he just released an album.
Yeah.
That was albums. Great.
Yeah.
Fucking standards, jazz standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean right now
has anything cool come from it that you can mention? Or no? Didn't you say you were gonna be in an episode? Can you talk about that?
Oh yeah. Well, that. So I'm gonna be in an episode of Family Guy.
Speaking part, like your voice.
I don't know. It's not gonna be a speaking part. They're using my likeness for a background character.
No way.
Yeah. So I was drawn. I stood in front of a wall and.
Oh, so you're not speaking him.
I'm not. I don't. My character won't have a speaking part, but I will be in an episode where you can clearly see
that it's
my
you.
Character. Yeah, and I don't think it'll air till the fall, but and unfortunately, I can't really talk about the episode yet because I don't think they've announced it. But when it comes, when they announce it, I'll definitely blow it up all over social media. It's gonna be really cool. It's super cool.
Did you see the drawing of you yet?
I did. Yeah, and I can even show it to you. Yeah. It looks great. There's a lot of people that worked hard to make me look that miserable. And it's going to be really cool.
So he's just a guy in the background though. He isn't.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't talk about it.
Yeah.
Cause I'm wondering if it's like, I mean, you don't have to,
I'm in a couple scenes.
If there was something about your actual personality that made them think that it was worth including.
I think the picture, maybe the picture I took was like a mugshot, and I think that might have gone into
what picture,
like the artists need a reference to draw from, so they just snapped a quick photo of me
and they thought you looked
cartoonish. Well, I just like, they're, you know, using my, like, I have like this like lick of hair that sticks up in the back, and that like made it in, and like my shoes, you know, made it in, and I was wearing jeans and a baseball tee, and you know, I had like my ID badge, and mm-hmm. So that all made it in. Mm-hmm. They with any character model, you know, if they're like, if you watch a show, mm-hmm. they're, you know, if it's a celebrity that they're modeling a character after, you need a reference. So
right.
With me, they needed a reference, and yeah, it was just a little snapshot.
Awesome.
But that'll be, it's supposed to air in May, but I think it's going to air in the fall, but mm-hmm. definitely stay tuned.
Mm. So just to finish up the Family Guy stuff, then we'll go to something else, is what about you has changed from being there for that long?
That's a good question. I think I'm definitely become more comfortable, just, you know, as a person, really. I think I've relaxed a bit.
The idea, you know, of your potential has kind of become realized. It's like, I deserve to be here. Do you ever have that?
I mean, I've worked super hard, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, that's true. I was thinking more like, you know, when you first come out here and you're just like, for me, it was, I just was like a nervous ball of energy. Mm-hmm. Like I just, like, everything was new. I burst through my Connecticut bubble and I was like out here on my own, I was working in TV and meeting all these people and, you know, working with all of these talented people that that I want to be. And then, like, you know, just being immersed in all of that, it's just kind of, you feel like a part of it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I went from feeling like an outsider to being like, oh, I'm like, this is, you know, the community of people I'm with now, and mm-hmm. I can mellow out and I don't have to, yeah. It's like, I'm here. Like, yeah, you know, I'm here. Yeah. I can relax. But it's been great, and I, you know, we're going strong, and show's doing great. And
that show go forever, don't you think? Does he ever? You can't say, but I'm so curious if he ever has an end game for that.
Yeah,
who knows? He probably doesn't even know.
You know, I get that's working in animation. That's, I guess, one of the advantages is
the show has gotten
going.
so much more.
Look at The Simpsons and
yeah. The show has gotten so much more okay with what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still obviously hilarious, but they don't care if there's like a super dry moment now. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I mean,
that might be a little more esoteric than what like a normal, like cable show, the humor of a normal, like if this isn't for you, we don't really care. We think it's funny. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah. I think there that we sent out an Emmy pamphlet with Donald Trump. Did you see that?
No.
There was a little bit of a buzz and some controversy. I think we sent out an Emmy pamphlet with Donald Trump or with Peter Griffin as Donald Trump. So, and it was like, if you're going to vote for a loudmouth, you know, give me a vote. Or I don't remember the exact word, but that angered a lot of Trump supporters, which is great.
How do you hear from Trump supporters?
On Facebook. I think it was like a Facebook post that we posted the flyer and they all jumped on it.
I didn't know there was an overlapping fandom of Donald Trump and Family Guy, though.
yeah. I mean, well, you know what? If they don't want to watch it anymore, then that's fine by us. We got plenty of other people that don't want to watch. But
it's craziness.
Yeah.
But cool. That's awesome, man. It's cool that you stuck through that and
stick it out. That's mm-hmm. what you know. If you want to work in TV and film, I honestly think you need to be out here. And it's super super tough. But if you stick it out, good things will happen. You know, it sounds super cliche, but I mean, that's the biggest thing I learned. Yeah, you just gotta hang in there. And sometimes it's kind of shitty, and you feel like you're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. But you know, you just gotta keep going.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you talked about you have an Instagram show.
I do. Yeah, my roommate Eric and I have a Instagram show called Outside Time Show.
So how long can an Insta video be?
Well, it's only 15 seconds, which at the time, I guess Instagram's doing a new thing where
I thought it was longer now.
I think it's a bit longer. I think it's like 30 or 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. When we started it, I think we thought it was the perfect amount of time because
vignettes.
I feel like Vine was like too short, and you know, we didn't want to make a YouTube channel because that's just, there's so many. We made an Instagram account. We did these little 15-second videos. The whole hook is that we're these nature survival experts that give you unhelpful tips on how to survive in the wild. Like, I have a ghillie suit that I wear, like, open with, like, a t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops. And Eric has, like, a bucket hat and, like, a Hawaiian shirt. And we're just two idiots. Like, it's so stupid.
What's the name of it?
Outside Time.
Outside Time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just so, so silly. Mm-hmm. We had...
Any episodes?
We shot one in this apartment, actually, where we opened on us camping in a tent. And we were, you know, telling scary stories. And Eric was reading the back of The Sixth Sense on VHS as, like, passing it off as a campfire story. And
that's funny.
And then we hear a knock, and then we zip open the tent and reveal that we're actually inside.
Right.
And we, like, you know, we we would actually camp outdoors.
Right. That's funny.
Yeah. So that was fun.
50 first dates ruined The Sixth Sense for me. I saw that movie before.
The Adam Sandler movie?
Yeah.
Why?
That's the movie they watch every day for Drew Barrymore because she can't remember. You know, she has the day memory.
I don't remember that.
She watches that movie over and over again, and they all know how it ends. And she goes, Bruce Willis was a ghost. I did not see it coming. They're all like, yeah, we didn't either. And I saw that movie before I saw, I haven't even seen Sixth Sense because it's ruined.
I don't remember that. I haven't seen that movie in a while.
I
feel like that's a movie Adam Sandler would watch over and over because that's one of the last decent comedies he's made in a while.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's good.
He's doing him.
He's doing Adam.
Yeah. But so what's the plan with that?
You know, right now we're just cranking them out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a fun thing to do in the weekend. It's super easy to do. We can shoot two in a day. We edit them that night and send them out next week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a fun thing to do. And we've gotten some positive feedback on it. I mean, we have like 300 followers on Instagram, but Eric...
I'll follow him.
Eric is really our social media guy. And what he does is he like goes on... he goes around to like random people's pages, like not even people we follow. And he'll just comment on their photos.
Yeah.
I think somebody, what was a good example? Somebody posted a picture of like the Empire State Building, like of them at the Empire State Building.
Right.
And Eric would comment like, what's that? And just so stupid. And they'd be like, it's the Empire State Building. Yeah. And then we'd get a follower from it. It's super weird.
Quite genius. Who's the strange person who doesn't know?
Yeah.
Or I guess maybe they realize that it's humorous and they're like, well, maybe this is worth.
Yeah, I don't know what. I mean,
I need to learn how to market this more.
What's the Empire State Building? I don't know. I don't know what the thought process is of someone that actually follows us on this Instagram account. I think.
Do you know how many of the followers do you know?
Oh, I don't know a lot of them. I think some of them. From Facebook, I post a lot of our videos on Facebook, yeah. But most of them are just random people.
How do you have so many Twitter followers? Is it because your tweets are funny and people just have retweeted them?
I don't know. I really don't have too many. I've been losing a lot.
I mean, you have.
My tweets have been stale. I have.
That one recent one about, what was it? It was the second or third most recent. Why am I blanking on it? It had a good amount of
time. Oh, about high school?
Oh, yeah. If I delete all my pictures off of Facebook.
If I delete Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Does it erase my entire memory of high school?
I've had that thought.
Yeah. I think I was
doing
some damage control on Facebook recently, just trying to get rid of...
Have you gone through and just defriended people?
Yeah, I'm pretty ruthless on Facebook. I unfriend people for random reasons. Like, I unfriended somebody recently who bragged about having courtside Nets tickets, and I just... Just a quick unfriend. Like I don't know. Like I don't even really follow
is it
any NBA.
Or is it just
no, I don't know. I just like it. You know, I don't know. I just something and like a call it a sixth sense. I just know I need to unfollow them.
I sometimes
they didn't even do anything wrong.
Yeah,
that's great. That's cool. Courtside Nets tickets. That's really cool.
I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, unfriend.
Unfriend.
Yeah.
There's some people who are nightmares that I stay friends with just out of. My own amusement. People who, you know.
Yeah, that's always good too.
Share way too much. I've said this on the podcast before. There's like this kid who, and this does not sound cheery or funny, but it is kind of interesting. There's a kid who I knew who had a family member who had cancer, and he wrote a Facebook status. I wish somebody told me that having a family member who had cancer would make the rest of your family alcoholics.
Oh my God.
Just post that on Facebook. It's like, what are you doing? And you just see like list
train wreck.
Status after status after status of him complaining about his life with just nothing. Just like no likes, no comments. Sad, man. But yeah. Then there's definitely people who are friends with him who are just like, I gotta stay friends with
him. That's when you just gotta post an LOL or you know, something.
That was before they had the dislike. What is that?
Oh yeah, I'm not really too active on Facebook. I really just go on to unfriend people.
I literally just go on to post this podcast.
Yeah, I post some outside time stuff and
Yeah.
I'd go on it just to make sure my mom didn't post any pictures of me.
My mom's not on Facebook, thank God. Yeah, my dad's on Facebook. He'll share the most ridiculous stuff, like, don't, if these spiders in your house, they can make you bald, like this random, like, oh, weird shit. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff on Facebook.
Yeah.
I try to...
Well, yeah, the adults are coming to the party now, and they just don't realize it's like, hey, yeah. Facebook's over, man. It's not over. It's still the best. But anyway, so you want to give me that, you have any good Hollywood stories? You were telling me about some Oscar
Yeah, I mean,
story.
We're in Hollywood. We got a name drop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did have a good story lined up. I went to the Oscars last year.
Jealous. Last year, so that was, who's hosting?
Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah.
That magician thing at the end really paid off.
Oh yeah, that whole thing. I remember. Yeah, that was. Yeah,
you could see in his face, you know, this took way too long, and I'm sorry, but I have to do it because I've had this all this buildup. Yeah, I have to do it.
You gotta go through with it.
What were you gonna say? You know what?
Like when you're there, it was great. It was, super cool.
Oh, I loved
it. So I went, my cousin was nominated for an Oscar that year.
The makeup artist?
Yeah.
For what movie?
It was Foxcatcher.
Wow. He did Steve Carell's makeup?
Yes, and Channing Tatum.
Wow, he deserves it.
Just funny because I actually helped him move a couple months before, and
that fake
I
nose.
Had like a big box of stuff, and you know I was like moving around, and you know you open it up, and it's like a box full labeled like Channing's ear, Steve Carell's nose,
oh,
and it's like, oh, he killed them,
ear?
Like he murdered them.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But
where's the rest of them?
Yeah, that's right. So we were there. We went actually as seat fillers. So he. He took his family, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's not going to take me. Mm-hmm. We went a seat filler, so we like there's like an application, and you send it in, and you maybe it helped that he was nominated. I don't know, but I went with my girlfriend Allie, and we both applied and got it. And the job of the seat filler is when you're at the Oscars and the camera pans across, they really don't want any empty seats, so. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone, celebrities get up and use the bathroom, people there, everyone comes and goes.
They lose,
and,
they go to McDonald's.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So they don't want any empty seats in the house. So the job of a seat filler is really to just go in and fill a seat, literally, you know, so it doesn't look empty. And I'm probably going to be assassinated by the Illuminati for revealing the secret, but Hollywood Illuminati. But we are seat fillers. We lucked out, though, because when we were assigned a seat, we were about 9 rows up right behind the Birdman team, right. Like the writers and producers. And so I guess after the fact, whatever seats we were sitting in were 2 Birdman writers who didn't show up. And I think there were like 5 writers that wrote that movie.
Yeah, crazy.
So we sat down, and we didn't have to get up the entire show. And we were like dead center, 9 rows up. I sat right behind Harvey Weinstein. And
did he smell?
No, he's nice. I said he still uses a BlackBerry, which I thought was funny.
Wow.
Harvey Weinstein and Anna Wintour, who's the chief editor of Vogue. She was the woman who Meryl Streep portrayed in The Devil Wears Prada.
Wow,
big fashion person. So the show was great. Like we sat through the whole show, and it was when you're there, it's super funny. All the jokes landed. Everyone's laughing, having a good time. It was only after I was like, people weren't thrilled with the magic thing. I was like, oh, I thought that was pretty good. So
I liked it. I thought it was a good idea. It's just that
on paper,
you could tell him that he was like, this show's run way too long, but I still got to do this.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
So after the show, I met up with my cousin. Didn't win, unfortunately, but... Met up with him, and I was like, you know,
Steve Carell, man, in that movie.
Yeah, that was such a great movie.
And no, I'm just saying the makeup too.
Oh yeah,
because did not look like Steve Carell. But that was
He did Deadpool this year and Star Wars.
Wow.
So hopefully
he did Star Wars.
Knock on wood. Yeah. Knock on wood.
Oh, he did Episode 8.
Yeah, whatever the Star Wars that just came, Force Awakens.
Oh well, that Oscar's already done.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. Well, Deadpool.
Deadpool is.
Deadpool. Yeah.
Deadpool is fucking... 20 minutes into Deadpool, I was like, oh, I'm digging this.
Deadpool, he did a phenomenal job.
Who's been... Oh, yeah, because fucking...
Yeah, his face.
Ryan Reynolds, he did that?
Yeah.
That was all makeup, huh? Not even CGI?
Makeup.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a real deal.
He's a talented man.
But, oh, yeah. You know what? That's the one thing I wish the artist gene ran in the family. That would be really cool. It does not.
Oh, like visual artist?
Well, yeah. Well, he's an artist. I mean, he can draw. He can, you know, you have to. There's a lot of pre-visualization that goes into makeup.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I remember a long time ago, we were at like a California pizza kitchen, and there's like, you know, like the kids' crayons and like there's like a little, like a blank coloring page. And I remember, I think he was doing Hellboy at the time. And he just just busted out Hellboy, like perfect Hellboy. And it was like, I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. And the waiter was like, what the hell is this?
Looks like it was traced.
What the Hellboy is this? but so yeah, after the Oscars,
yeah.
We met up with him and you know, just said our goodbyes. Because he lives in the Valley, you know, which is...
Yeah.
For non-LA people, it's like, you know, might as well be in...
Yeah, bumfuck.
Alaska.
Yeah.
I met up with him and said our goodbyes. They were going to the Governor's Ball, which is like this crazy exclusive after party for run by like the governors of each... So the Academy is made up of different departments.
Right.
You know, obviously makeup's a department. You know, there's the actors. I think, I don't know who the acting
SAG-actor?
Governor. Well, no, like there's like a governor that represents the body of actors that make up the Academy. But regardless, there's different departments and each has a governor. And this was like the ball. This is where the award winners go to engrave their Oscars.
Right, it was
the biggest deal.
Yeah.
So we were leaving and we were like kind of, Allie and I were kind of bummed that it was over. It's like, oh, what are we going to do now? Mm-hmm. And she was like, why don't we just like try to go? And I was like, really? Try to like just go to the governor's ball? She's like, yeah, let's just try. And I was like, all right, yeah, sure. I'll, you know, take the lead. So we go up a couple flights of stairs and there's like a line of people at a cocktail table, like a queue. And at the cocktail table was a woman with a clipboard and on the other, you know, behind her was the entrance to the governor's ball. And it was so funny because in this line was were some of the award winners and like other celebrities like in waiting in line to like get
Eddie
in.
Eddie Redmayne and
yeah, Nick, I didn't see him. Moss. It was I saw Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Like right in line, like I was like, you know, smelling his back, like like right in front of me. Ed Norton.
He was fucking
who I can,
great.
I call Ed because, you know, we're...
Yeah.
Who else was there? It was just... There was a few of the Birdman guys that won.
Yeah.
They're all holding their Oscars and they... It was such... It was so bizarre. I guess, like, their tickets weren't working. I realize I have to backtrack, though, because the only reason that we even thought we could get into this place was during the show. I told you I was sitting behind Harvey Weinstein and Anna Wintour. Mm-hmm. I looked down and I saw a Oscars admission ticket that said guest of Anna Wintour. And this is the first time I'm telling the story to the public. So I'm sure, not that I ever intend to work in movies, but I'm sure I'm
really?
Permanently banned now. I saw a ticket, guest of Anna Wintour. I picked it up, pocketed it, you know, cool souvenir. So I showed it to Allie after the show, and she's like, oh, this is cool. Like, let's try to get in the governor's ball. So there's a separate ticket for the governor's ball. So when you get invited to the Oscars, you get your Oscars admission ticket, and you get your governor's ball after-party ticket mm-hmm. in a little envelope. And we were not Oscars guests. We were seat fillers, and
right.
we had, you know, our big, gigantic, I'll show you the laminate. It's like this huge laminate that says you're a seat filler. Like, it couldn't be bigger.
Make sure people know.
Right, yeah. But, like, you know, and then, like, they tell you, like, you know, hide it so the camera doesn't see. But just these embarrassingly large laminates that wouldn't get us anywhere. Mm-hmm. So we had this ticket. We had one ticket said guest of Anna Wintour. And we went up to the cocktail table after we waited through the line. Allie says to the woman, all of a sudden she turns on this like just mean, like angry girlfriend, like my boyfriend lost our tickets. And I was just like, oh, okay, I'll play along. So she gives the cocktail woman, the woman at the cocktail table, the clipboard. She's like, I'm Anna Wintour's niece. My boyfriend left our tickets in the Kodak Theater and now we can't get in. She's like, oh, okay. Let me get your name, takes down her name, goes into the back.
What name did she say?
Allie Wintour. I don't know. I don't remember. The woman goes into the back and we sit down, and a couple of minutes later they call her name, Allie Wintour, and Allie goes up and they're like, come on back. So I'm like, oh my God. So I follow Allie back, and there is a row, there's a table set up with like three or four people behind the table.
Yeah.
With laptops. There's like security guys there. It's really intense. And I'm like, oh God, this is bad. We should just bail. Like,
they're looking up bail. Right now all of Anna Wintour's
like, how are they
nieces?
Not? Yeah. So we go, they, you know, bring us in. It's like, I feel like it was an audition for American Idol. Like, you're just thrown out out of the curtain and you're in front of three judges and they're like, okay, what's your deal? So that's what happened. They just threw us in front of these people with clipboards and laptops. And they're like, okay, so tell us what happened with your tickets. And my girlfriend's like, my boyfriend had our Governor's Ball tickets, but left them in an envelope under a seat in the theater. And they're like, okay, give me your Oscar ticket. So she gave her guest of Anna Wintour ticket. And they were like, to me, where's your Oscars ticket? And I started patting myself down and I'm like looking in my pockets and I'm like, uh-oh. And Allie's like, you must have left it with the other tickets in the envelope under your seat, didn't you? I'm like, and they're like, okay, well, let's see if, you know, these tickets have already been scanned. You know, like, obviously they've been scanned. They're at the party.
Right.
And Wintour and her guests are there. So they go, I'm like, oh, okay, well, now the jig's up. And then they go, well, the tickets have already been scanned. And Allie was like, well, that's a problem because now someone's inside with our tickets. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, well, just go. Like, we'll just go. Like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, please, let's go. And then she like turns to me and just starts like going off on me. And like at this point, I really thought I lost the tickets. Like, it was that
convincing. You're so believable.
Like, best actress, supporting actor. Like, I actually thought I lost the tickets. And I'm looking at the ground and I'm just like, you know, tears are swelling in my eyes and I'm just like looking down, just so destroyed. And they...
You actually believe you fucked
I
up.
I thought I did. And they thought I did too. They're like, okay, all right, let's just calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's, you know, we can reissue you new tickets.
No way.
And then I'm like, what? I didn't say it loud, but I'm just like wide-eyed and I'm just like, thank you. Like, I wanted this to be over one way or another. Like, either, you know, escort us out in handcuffs or just let us go in. And they gave us new tickets. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so we turned to walk up this escalator, which was like the final, you know,
you're at the finish
stairway
line.
To heaven.
Yeah.
And they say, wait, hold on. And I'm like, oh, shit. And we turn around and they're like, you forgot your ticket. And I'm just like, oh my God, like that's just the perfect thing.
Like
I could have done.
You're keeping up the facade.
I could have done like perfect. And Allie goes, I'll hold on to that because you can't seem to hold on to anything. And the security guy by the door just like lets out. And she just like pulls me up the escalator.
That's hilarious.
And we're there. And it was like, we didn't even look at each other the whole escalator up because like, you know, any minute someone could pull you back down. We get in and like the first thing that we see on our left-hand side is a bar of Johnny Blue, like just whiskey bar. So it's free. Everything's free. So we were just like, two Johnny Blues on the rocks. And they're like, sure. And just pass it over. And we just oh my God, we're in. And it was the most amazing
experience. How long were you
there? A couple hours. I mean, Will.i.am was performing. There was like,
oh my God.
Like Wolfgang Puck catered stuff. There was like, they were passing around like chicken pot pies. There was like a seafood buffet that like looked like a full fish store. Like anything you want. Like you just pointed a lobster and then just give you a lobster. Like it was an unreal. And the best part was the look on my cousin's face when he saw us there, because I guess the tickets were like $3,000 a ticket.
Jesus.
To if you weren't, you know, part of that community and you wanted to get in, it was like $3,000 a ticket. And he just double takes and just like, what are you doing here? Like what? And
could you even explain?
It was a great story. Yeah, we told him the whole story and it was just he laughed. It was great. But yeah, we made it in.
Wow, man. That's a great story.
Crazy. It was just super unreal. And everyone was there and there's so much food and champagne, and there was like a phone charging like valet who would like take your phone and like watch it for you. It was like just unreal.
Must have gone home that night felt pretty fucking good.
It was so cool. They give out chocolate Oscars at this thing, and I still have my chocolate Oscar.
You haven't eaten it?
No, it's definitely bad by now. It's like a Godiva chocolate.
So now it's just a memorial.
It's just there for memories. I did that. Yeah.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, definitely. Never going back to the Oscars because
don't say that.
I don't think I'd ever
one
be
day
invited.
Maybe you'll be important enough to be asked back.
Yeah, and then they'll ask me back just to nail me with this story. but yeah, that happened, and it was definitely the coolest
that's
story.
A great Hollywood story, man.
Yeah, it's fun. Come out to LA, guys.
You can get an Oscar. That happens to everyone.
You can talk your way in.
Well, man, I appreciate doing this. We usually we're close to an hour. Usually end with like hopes for the future. Why? You said you didn't want to be in a movie. You didn't want to do movies? So what's your plan then?
Just TV. I want to write
TV. TV writing? Yeah. You never want to do movie writing?
I'm in a great
spot. If you're given the opportunity?
No, I don't think I'd... I can't imagine
this?
That.
What is this?
I can't see a scenario where I'd be... I mean, I don't know.
Someone gets a hold of your TV script, thinks it's good, and they're like, hey. We'll
make it a movie. Maybe. That's definitely, you can't rule that out.
You're being a realist.
Yeah, I know. I really like TV. I like just the storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there's so many good shows out, and that's where I want to be.
What are you watching? What do you like?
I'm watching a lot of dramas right now. Bates Motel is just like so.
What's that on?
So freaking good. It's on A&E, and it doesn't get a lot of buzz, but I think it's just the best show out right now. It's amazing.
You watched Mr. Robot?
I did watch Mr. Robot. That's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Comedy wise, I'm watching Last Man on Earth. I'm watching
so good
Silicon Valley.
That was such a unique Silicon Valley's great.
Yeah. What else? The Goldbergs on ABC is surprisingly underrated and underwatched.
Mm-hmm. Silicon Valley is
it's great.
All those guys, it was just perfect.
They're so funny. Yeah, they're that's a great show.
Judges, yeah.
And then what else? I'm watching a lot of I'm watching boxing a lot. I've been boxing.
Really?
Every weekend.
Why?
Yeah. Just for fun. That's a new hobby.
Wow.
I'm boxing now.
Some people do it to like
bulk up,
one with themselves, and yeah.
I don't know about that. I'm just trying to. Now that I'm on a desk, you don't get a lot of exercise. As a PA, it's like, it's so funny. As a PA, you're running around all day and you're doing runs and you're doing a bunch of stuff, and then I'm like, man, I wish I could just sit down all day. And now I'm sitting down all day, and I'm like, man, I wish I could be running around. So I definitely didn't want to hit a normal gym because gyms are just terrible, especially out here. The people.
Are you hitting the bag or people hitting you?
Both.
Wow, yeah. What's that like? Did you get punched in the
face? Great. Yeah, keeps you humble. Yeah, it's great. I need to get hit in the face.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's a good way to.
Especially
end
after this Oscar story. Yeah, for sure.
Well, man, I thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Joe. You have a very soothing voice.
Oh, thanks. So do you.
Thank you.
I guess I'll see you. Am I allowed to say that I'm Friday? You're going to hook me up?
Yeah, come and hang out at the Family Guy office for a little bit. It'll
be
fun.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
All right, man. I'll see you then.
All right. I'll open the door and let you out. Cool.
Peace, buddy. Okay, that is it. Thank you to Brad DePrima for coming on and talking about the stuff that you did. That was an enjoyable conversation for me. It was right up my alley with the subject matter of the conversation. So thank you, Brad, and thank you again for allowing me to come through the Family Guy office. That was a cool experience for me. And yeah, that's all we got for this week. But yeah, I get Brad is just, he really is a product of just, you know, sticking it out, waiting it out. If you're in a situation where maybe you don't like what's going on, or maybe you don't think a better opportunity will come from it, I think Brad's a product of, you know, maybe just stick it out. But thanks again to everyone who's listened. And yeah, next week, Eric Huberman, CEO of Hawk Media, will be the guest for next episode. But until then, I will not talk to you. See, I gotta figure out a better way to do this. Have a good day. Have a good week. Jesus.